Lord, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we come before thee in this evening, having assembled together in this evening around thy holy and living word. And Lord, we have all come with an anticipation to hear from thee. And so, Lord, open our hearts and speak to us that we would know thy will and that we would be in thy will, and that, Lord, our love for thee would continually grow, our trust and our faith in thee would continually grow, and that we would be the people that thou art desiring of us to be. So abide thou with us this evening and bless us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was, for the reading for this evening, a desire with God's help that we would turn together from the first book of Kings. First book of Kings, chapter number 13. We can read the first 26 verses. Ljubazno želim da se pročita zajednički iz prve knjige Carovima, 13. glava, 26 brojeva. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in against him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread, nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in the Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord that thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way which thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water, in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him into the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. Dear ones, as we have read this portion of Scripture together, I believe that this account of, as was even mentioned in the prayer, of something that had taken place, and it's a real story that had taken place so many years ago, it becomes to us almost as if it's a story where we get disconnected from it. One, because it happened so long ago and the things that were taking place were miracles being performed, and we somehow get disconnected from the realities of what had taken place. What we have here is an account of what had taken place in the aftermath of Solomon's reign. Solomon, who had gone and set up a government or a kingdom that was supposed to be ruled by God. So he was careful to build the temple. He was careful to that the laws would be upheld and so on. But as time went on, Solomon took on humanism. He started to pursue those things that made him happy, those things that made him happy for the moment. He set out to become the richest man. And he is known as to have been the richest man to have ever lived upon this earth. In today's value, it's estimated of $2 trillion. This is what his goal was, and he became that. But in that goal, in that quest, in that drive, in that what he was going to do, what he wanted to do, he lost sight of who God was. And the kingdom then was going to be divided. And Jeroboam comes onto the scene, and he is the one then that comes in. He was someone who was under Solomon, learned from Solomon a very evil way. And so he came on and he divides the kingdom. He takes 10 tribes and he creates the northern kingdom, of where he set up Bethel to be the place of worship. And this is where we come up now in this story, where he is going to dedicate the altar. This is the place of worship for the northern kingdom. They don't have Jerusalem. They don't have that city. So he creates a false religion. He creates a false way of worship, a false place, and a false means. Everything was false about it, but it was a religion that gave a similarity to what was being done in Jerusalem, but it was nothing like what God had ordained. And so, as they were going to dedicate this altar, it says that there came a man of God out of the southern kingdom. He had to come all the way from the south to come up to Bethel to speak what God had told him to do, what God had told him to say. And he's called here a man of God. The Bible does not give too many men by name that are called a man of God. But this is a man of God. So we know he is one who feared God, obeyed him in all things, followed after him, sought his will, and when he come to know his will, he obeyed it. And so he is being told to go to Bethel. And he comes out of Judah by the word of the Lord. So when the Lord told him that. And he comes up to a place where here's the king. The king is there. His army, his princes, his everything. All in all his glory, he is there at this altar. And here's the man of God who comes out with the king there, with all the crowds that are gathered together for this momentous event. He cries against the altar. And he said, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And he upon thee shall offer the priests of the high places the burnt incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." He's speaking now against the altar that the king has gathered everyone around to celebrate. And he says, "A sign which the Lord has spoken, this is the sign, the altar will be rent, will be torn in half, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And the king hears this. He hears, as it says, the saying of the man of God. He cried against the altar in Bethel. So he put forth his hand. How dare this man come up and ruin his party? And we know he was just raging, angry. And he says, he puts forth his hand. He wants to imprison him immediately. He's going to put him to death. He knows exactly what he's going to do with him. But it tells us here that as he stretches forth his hand, it dries up. It's in an awkward place. He can't even bring it. He can't even put it next to his body. It's dried up. A miracle just took place. A man of God came. What you and I and every person there would say, that he was in the most dangerous place that he could be, in front of a king who was dedicating an altar that he had designed, a false religion that he was establishing, and he was going to come here and denounce it. That is the worst place that you could possibly be. And yet we see him in the safest place that he could possibly be. How? He was in the center of the will of God. The king stretches forth his hand and it dries up. There's nothing that they can do to him. He just came into the most dangerous place, yet he was in the safest place. There is no dangerous place if we are in the center of the will of God, where this man of God finds himself. We read in Timothy, Apostle Paul writes, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So if we have a God-inspired writing, ought we not to search it out? It's given by God. And what is it for? He says, it is profitable for doctrine. So we are to search it. We need to know the doctrine. We want to search it for reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness. Where are you going to find reproof, correction, instruction for righteousness, in righteousness. Where will you find it? Only in the inspired Word of God, the Scriptures. Ought we not search that Word? He says, because why did he give that? So that, what did it say here? So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, who is a man of God today? It's those who claim Christ. The ones who claim him and who are inspired by the inspiration of God, which is the Scripture, who find a place that they need to be corrected, who find a place of instruction into righteousness, righteous living, so that that man would be perfect. Trying to be perfect? No, so that he would be perfect. Don't write that off and say, well, who's perfect? Are you perfect? Let's not play games with the Word of God. The Word of God is given for an instruction unto you and I to be perfect, furnished unto all good works. Some good works? 50%? 80% good works? No, all good works. How am I going to do that? I become a man of God. How am I going to become a man of God? The Scripture. The Scripture. I need to follow it. Obey it. That's why this prophet is a man of God. He obeyed God in everything, and God gave him a direction what to do. And he obeyed in the face of great danger. Something that we would say, well, maybe I can just sit back and see what's going to happen. No, he went in front of the king, and he spoke against the altar what he was supposed to say. How can we become a man of God? Timothy is being told by Paul, it says, flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with all them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You want to be a man of God? Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and run away. Flee. Run. Don't kind of back away from it. Run away from youthful lusts. That's what the Scripture instructs us. It might not be what I want and what you want, but if I want to be a man of God, God gave me a method through which I can become a man of God. One that he can use, one that he can speak through, one that he can live through, so that we would go out what Jerusalem had failed to do. And God is now saying that there's going to be a king. This Josiah comes up 300 years later. But he's being prophesied right now. Even gives his name, who it will be that will rise up. And so he comes here and he speaks. And the king's going to show him who he is. And he finds out that he is nothing. And so the king does what any smart man would do, who has no faith. He just simply tells him, he knows what just happened. He's not mistaken that just suddenly, perchance, somehow, some disease fell upon him and his arm is stuck in some crooked way where he can't even put it back to his body. He's not disillusioned in that. No, he knows what happened. He knows there's a man of God in front of him who spoke against him. And so now he says, okay, this man has power. So this man's got some kind of power that I need now because I'm a wreck. My kingdom, me as a king, I just got showed up and my hands all dried up. So he says, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored again. And it says the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was, like nothing ever happened. Wouldn't you think this king would have just like say, who are you? Tell me about this God. Tell me who he is. No, the king says he's going to make friends with him. He could use this. He could use a man like him. He says, come. Come over. Come home with me. Get refreshed. I'll give you a reward. He wants to buy him. I'll give you a reward. Come home to me. I'm going to feed you. You're going to get refreshed. I'm going to give you a reward. The man of God says to the king, if you give me half of your house, half, I'm not coming. I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place, Bethel. I'm not eating here. I'm not drinking here. I'm out of here. The word of God instructed him what to do. There was no enticement from the king that was going to change his mind. The allurements of wealth and prosperity and fame and fortune, all the trappings that Solomon fell into, this man of God says no. He says, it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again. You can't even go home the same way. And so he left. And in that location where this miracle had taken place, there are sons of an old prophet. And they saw what had taken place. And they come home and they tell their dad what they just witnessed. You could just imagine the story as it's taking place. These events, he's sitting there telling. Now, why wasn't he there? If he was a prophet of God, why didn't he go and speak against this altar? Why didn't he go there to participate in it? We don't know. It doesn't tell us these things. But we see that he chose not to go. He wasn't too old not to go, because later we see him getting saddled up on an ass to go after the prophet, after the man of God. So he wasn't too old, too feeble to go, but he didn't go. Did he not feel good about, because he was an old prophet, he didn't quite feel comfortable with going, participating in this new way of religion. And so he was going to just abstain, stay home. Don't go there, just stay out of the way. But his sons went. So we see the old prophet wasn't really teaching his sons. Something had attracted him too, distracted him, and attracted him to something that was temporal, something that is fleeting, something that Solomon found out that he could find no contentment in. Nothing. His soul was longing for that which he had lost. And here, this old man, this old prophet, hears this story, and he simply says, where did he go? What way did he go? And they saw which way he went, so they told him. And he says, saddle me the ass. And he goes after him. Why? Why did he do this? Is it that he had been what this man is now? Is there envy in him, jealousy, a lack of, or perhaps even a feeling of guilt, hearing what this young man of God was doing? Being given half of the household of the king, and he's refusing it. Was there something in this old prophet that made him say, I once was that, but I'll show this man of God that he's not immune to disobedience? This old prophet had disobeyed somewhere along the line. Somewhere along his way, he lost his way. And so he goes and he comes to the man of God and he says, come home with me and eat bread. He says, I may not return. Just like he told the king, I can't eat here. I can't drink here. I can't return. For it was said to me by who? Did someone just know? By the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord told me. Dear ones, we today have the word of God, as it tells us here, for reproof, instruction, inspiration. That's the word of God speaking to me and to you. We cannot allow religion. This old prophet is claiming that God talked to me. God told me that you're to come back. This man of God somehow was allowed himself to be deceived by another who had fallen away. He didn't tell him to go do anything sinful, and yet it was sinful. He disobeyed the word of the Lord. And he came back to him, came back to his house. He said, thou shalt not, the word came to me, I shall not eat bread, drink water. And he says, I'm a prophet also, just as you are. An angel told me, by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back into thine house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. It tells us, but he lied to him. But he listened to him. He was deceived. He believed him. That which was clear instruction given through the word of God suddenly was unclear. Dear ones, is there anything in our life that was so clear to us when we read the scripture and came to know him, became a prophet, as this old prophet was, and then through deceit, through lying, that's what lying is, deceit, through lying, who lies to us? Anyone who speaks outside of the will of God, which is found in the scriptures, that Paul says that they're given to you so that the man of God would be thoroughly, to all good works, completely. And so if we now say, well, I'm being offered this, riches, this young man, didn't move him at all. Didn't move him. Eat, no. Nothing. I have instruction. The old prophet didn't do that somewhere along the way. When he lost his way, he became disobedient. And through his disobedience, he is now envious of others. And as he who once was, he wants to also destroy others who are. So dear ones, who is Satan? He was an angel. He fell, and he wants to destroy us. Christians, as this prophet, he's a prophet, who are not in the will of God, who know they're not, will deceive others, will continually try to deceive you and I, who were founded on the scripture, not upon some church doctrine, but upon the doctrine that is given to us by scripture. The inspired word of God will seek to throw us off. It's okay. Why? Because then they're going to feel good too that you're not better than they are. And so this prophet lies to him. And he goes back and he eats. And now suddenly, as they're sitting, we're going to ask ourselves, how did the word of the Lord come back to this old prophet if he just got done lying? Well, God can use evil. He does. He has. And he can. And he tells us, the word tells us that stones will speak his message. If we fail. And this man failed. And now suddenly the old prophet is telling him, he says, he cries unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but thou camest back, and you have eaten bread, you drunk water, in a place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water, says thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers. What was this man of God thinking? He knows what just took place. And he knows he's going to die. Is it because he believes the old prophet? Is it because he knew that he had been deceived? He knew that he had disobeyed. He was outside. The safest place to be, he walked right out of it. Outside of his will, into harm's way, he went. He saddled up his ass and he went, knowing that he's going to get struck down. A lion meets him. Says it slew him. It didn't eat the ass. It didn't eat him. It just stood. God told that lion, kill him, but don't eat him. Lion did exactly what he was told to do. He couldn't disobey. Lions don't have a will. What he was commanded, what was implanted into him, he had to do. The man of God has a will. You and I have a will. We have God's will. Are we in the center of his will? Why do we always expect, always when we are outside of his will, why do we always expect God's mercy even though I am out of his will? I fully expect it. Oh, I read that God is a God of mercy. And we don't even have to repent. Being outside of his will, men now passed by who saw what took place. They saw what took place by the altar. They saw the offering made by the king. They heard the man say, the word of God told me I cannot do this. I don't care what you give me. I'm not coming. And they see he went back. And they see the results. And they see a lion who also is commanded not to eat, standing. And they came and told it into the city of Bethel. The old prophet hears this, and he says, the Lord had delivered him unto the lion, which had torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him, because he was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. There was disobedience is not a small matter. There's no such thing as a small disobedience. Is there? If there's an instruction and I don't do it, why is it small? Why is anything small? The safest place for you and I to be, my dear brother and sister, my dear friend, is inside the center of the will of God in the face of kings and presidents, in the face of an army. Doesn't matter. In the center of God's will, we're safe. Outside of His will, we see what happens. So, dear ones, are we called, first of all? Can we even be called a man of God? Have we fled youthful lusts? Have we followed charity and peace? And have we followed those things? Being instructed in righteousness so that we can be called a man of God. So that once we are called a man of God, we can now remain in his will to be able to be the voice crying out, pointing the lost to Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. May God bless His word upon each of our hearts in this evening, so that we would simply look at this word and look at it as, yes, it's a story of what had taken place so many years ago that we're so disconnected from it, but in that there is a principle that is to be applied to my life today. It's very, very valid for me today to apply the word of the Lord, His will, into my heart and life, that I would love Him with all my heart and soul, obey Him, serve Him, and be ready. Be ready. Yes, it might not be popular. Yes, you might get mocked if you stand up against those who mock the truth. Ah, you over there, you're just an old-fashioned bunch, and so on. Speak the truth. In the center of God's will, there's nothing to fear. May God bless His word upon our hearts. Amen.
The Old Testament of the danger of deception. I'd like to speak of a little bit, perhaps, of not history of what happened, but what will happen in the future. In Revelation, the Bible says that there's a dragon, and there's a dragon that gives power to a first beast, and men marvel at that first beast in many ways because he had a head that was wounded and it was healed. And then there was a second dragon, and this second dragon gave honor also to the first or second beast, and that second beast gave honor to that first beast. And they complimented one and another. And there was great miracles that this second beast did, so that the people marveled. And he caused these miracles to happen, and they marveled at all of that. And then he caused all, we're familiar with this, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and on their foreheads, that no man may buy or sell, save that he have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so we know that to happen, that it will happen because the Bible says so. And so we might fear, and then we might be deceived and say, well, if I but maybe do a portion of this or something to that effect, where we might be deceived to some extent. But let's not be deceived. Let's stay in the center of God's will, as we heard this evening. Let's stay in the center of God's will. Because for those that do take this mark that this second beast had everyone to take in their right arm or right hand or in their forehead, that here's what's going to happen to them. The third angel followed them and said with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and receive his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out with mixture upon the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his image." Great destruction is going to come to those who disobey God. That happened to the man of God. Great destruction will come to those who disobey God. But for those who are in the center of God's will, God will take care of them. God knows that there's this beast that's going to make all man receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. God knows that. God will take care of us. But ours is to stay in the center of his will. May we love God. May we love him. And that love will take us to a place where no eye hath seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man those things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen.